Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gentle Intensity Radio with Shaheen Jedian, the magical mentor and author of Divine Prescription for Life bestseller, co-host with Chicken Soup for the Soul, 500 million bestseller, and creative collaborator of Glee Hugo and Spider-Man. On air now, as Shaheen Jedian takes you on a hot journey of spirit and heart healing, breaking through the deepest fears while unleashing your life's meaning and purpose. With his gentle intensity touch, unlock your future now with the greatest speakers as you walk out of your tight spots in life and come to fruition. Red hot takes and honest opinions on ancient wisdom for modern times with the greatest meaningful celeb show on earth. Let's welcome Shaheen Jedian and his guest today.
All right. I am super excited again, just like 2 days ago when I was with you on the radio show. Today we have an all-star cast with us, starting with Thomas Wilbur. So I'm super excited to just bring massive transformational information and transformation more than anything. Today I want to start with the topic of struggle is a choice. And so many of us are going through this feeling where we lose track of the fact that struggle is an option and that we're actually creating it. So in my book, Divine Prescription for Life, I go more in depth with the idea that what struggle really is. So the first step is struggle is where the ego makes its home. I want you to just take a moment for that. Struggle is where the ego makes its home. So if you're playing small, just think about that. Through struggle, the individual, I, is defined. Through drama, the individual, I, makes a story. Through suffering, the individual, I, creates a philosophy. Through pain, the individual, I, tries to establish work. Through endless fighting, the individual, I, marks its territory. And through continually making things harder than necessary, the individual, the I, is temporarily sustained, of course, in peacetime, the ego vanishes. And so, if you want to know if you genuinely, let's say, love someone, including yourself, see if you can see them without you while they're happy. Love begins by letting the one you love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit your own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves that we find in them. So if you love yourself, you must be willing to let go of your struggle. Really understand your struggle and then let go of your struggle. Because as long as you remain with the struggle identity, you're going to remain small. Today, I'm going to read a powerful mantra from ancient texts in the Aramaic language. These are powerful sequences. At the same time, they have metaphoric, secret, and hint meanings. And here it comes. V'chad akdim Torah lemitzvah o chachma leira itapech shemei alei lenukva midat hadin kegavna da havaya. דיתפח לי כל הלדינה וקשין מזונתה באוריתה כקריאת ים סוף. וכגוונה דה פורקנה אם זכו יפקון ברחמי, ההודה אמר בטרם יבוא חללה והמליטה זכר ויפקון ברחמי, ואיליו אקטים רחמי יפקון בצערה, ושפיר לאקטים צערה ודינה לרחמי, ובנכך וכמוה רזה מראה מתנתין לפום צערה אגרה. So in this section, the consciousness is imbued about the distinguishment between fear and love. And so in our daily lives, we both need both of these elements. So many people talk about don't be in fear, work with love, go with love. And I want to teach something about the balance between the two. I think it's really important to keep in front of our eyes the passion, the love, and imbue ourselves with that every second as we're doing everything. But at the same time, in the background of our mind, to have an idea of what's going to happen if I don't do my potential. How is it going to go if I continue to remain, let's say, in this struggle addictive cycle? By knowing the pain that it can cause you, it can also motivate you to move forward. And at the same time, you can imbue yourself with the passion so that you have both sides of the coin really motivating you to move forward. One of the questions I always ask in my meetings with potential, clients or anyone that I'm about to meet, they say to me, like, I'm going through this massive struggle with this and this and this and this. And I say, well, what's going to happen if this continues? They pretty much go into like, well, I'm going to go like this, then this is what's going to happen, then my house is going to get foreclosed, then I'm going to be in pain, then I could be homeless, then I can go over here, then, and it just, the list continues. And then they all of a sudden suddenly see the pain, the vast pain that it can cause, and there's an awakening. So pain can cause awakening, attention can cause awakening. And the question is, which one do you want? You don't want pain to be the main motivator for your life. But keep in mind that pain is always there to create the awakening, because pain cushions until your vision pulls. So the key is to begin with the attention. And so for today, that's my teaching, that I continue to now get ready to bring on Thomas Wilbur on Transformation from Within. He is Thomas is an author and a very powerful transformational leader and speaker. And I've spent some time with him, and today I thought it would be perfectly a wonderful idea to bring him on to share with us some of his life story, some of his transformational skills, and special lessons that everyone that's listening can gain from on how to create a transformation, a shift in your consciousness that leads also to action steps in your everyday life. Okay, so let's go ahead and bring on Thomas. Let's see. There we go. I think I can hear you. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how are you doing? Good to hear you this morning.
Yes. Awesome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is super exciting for me and everyone listening right now, and all the people that are going to be listening also to the recording later on. And, one of the things I love about what we're doing right now is that the effects of transformation is so powerful. You listen to it right now, the energy of it is emitting in the universe. The recording gets spread and it stays, as an archive for the life of it. It just keeps moving around. So you're about to affect so many people from, at this moment and on forever and ever and ever. The vibration just echoes in the universe. So I'm really excited. So tell me a little bit about what, in a short 1 minute, what brought you, what was that one event that like inspired you to become a transformational leader and a coach?
Well, I think that there were places where we all are on a spiritual quest, and we're all on a spiritual search, and we're all on a spiritual journey. And the thing is we want to find the right teachers, the right people who guide us and who, really minister to our spirits, who cause us to not only dig deep, but to go far. And I think that there was a certain level of frustration I went through, actually going way back to when I there was, back in those days, it was the Vietnam War. And I was thinking, what do I do? How do I face this conflict? Like, one of the things that I liked about your opening statement is you're talking about struggle and choice. And that was a point where I was struggling. Do I go fight in the war in Vietnam? No, I didn't really want to do that. But I also saw other friends who were going, and they were either going to Canada or they were like having great eating mama's bags of sugar so that they would look like they're diabetic. And some people even wounded themselves, took sledgehammers to their arms to cripple themselves so that they wouldn't have to go. And so there's a certain level of trying to find that way, which leads to peace, which leads to understanding, which learns to grow. And so that you feel like you're at one with the universe, that you're one with God, that you're becoming at one with man, and so that your life is becoming fuller, becoming more meaningful, get older, instead of staying either in a rut or in a box or in certain conditions that don't really lead anywhere. That it's kind of, I call it the cul-de-sac of spirituality, where you drive down a road and all it does is lead you to a cul-de-sac that leads nowhere. I mean, it just basically, you have to turn around, go back out, and then find the other, other road, the path that's going to lead you to the proper place. And for some people, they're looking for a super highway. For some people, they're looking for a country road, because every one of us, I think, in our hearts, we want to experience the journey frequently from a different point of view and in a different way because of the different types of personality and the different types of calling that I think God places on our lives. So I would say that my experience back in 1970, I asked God to really come into my heart and into my life and to lead me and guide me, and that I didn't really have the strength to do it myself. And in my case, I had a Christian experience. I asked Christ to come in my life, and that was a turning point for me. And that sort of began a spiritual quest, because I realized that the way I was approaching things was really from a fleshly viewpoint instead of a spiritual viewpoint.
What's the difference? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Excuse me? Go ahead.
Can you tell us a little bit about the difference between approaching things from a spiritual point of view versus the other?
Well, I think what happens is that frequently we tend to make ourselves as gods instead of saying that we're instruments of God and we're messengers. We aren't the message. At least that's the way I look at life. And I think that for the longest time, I felt like the whole world was on my shoulders, that I had to totally decide things, that I had to totally make all those decisions. And so I felt in some ways isolated and disconnected, and that I didn't feel like God really cared about me. I felt like he was, as some people call it, the great watchmaker of the universe, which kind of starts everything in motion and then sits back and watches. And in some cases, I felt like he was amused at the buffoonery of mankind and the foolishness of mankind. And then realizing that actually there's a loving father, a loving person who cares about me and cares about my life and cares about the direction of my life and actually has a purpose for my life. And so then I began to seek wisdom on where to go. So I went to many different teachers, went to different talks. I tried actually a lot of different spiritual teachers. I tried transcendental meditation for a while. I tried even looking at Buddhism. And I tried a lot of different things. And at least for me, the Christian message led me into the downhill, at least what was the best path for me. But I also saw that the traditions of man inhibit that and sometimes close people off so that they're unwilling to really listen to other people's viewpoints and other people's points of view. And so what there is it becomes a closing of the mind or the spirit. And I realized how easy that is when a person becomes so emphatic about what they believe in that they will believe that they need to be right rather than have a relationship. And I think that's one of the huge problems that we face in our culture today, is people are so emphatic about that they're right and someone else is wrong that they're willing to almost kill them over it. I mean, they're willing to do violence because of it, because they're so angry and so frustrated. And I think that I was president of student government during a time when it was the 70s and Vietnam and Cambodia and the shooting of students in Kent State and whatnot. What I saw in that was, even in the music of that period, there was one of, let's love one another, let's cooperate with one another, let's have understanding. You saw students putting flowers in the ends of rifles, and there was a sense of, we're in this together. This is the age of Aquarius. This is the time of love and understanding. And it seems like we've moved so far from that. And it really troubles my heart that there isn't more cooperation, there isn't more openness, there isn't more willingness to hear what other people have to say, because God can use a lot of people in different ways to be our teachers. And the problem is, I see people being so emphatic about their rightness instead of having a relationship with them and then allowing that relationship to speak to their hearts and their lives. They miss out, I think, on certain blessings that God wants to bring into people's lives because of that closed-mindedness. And there's even a book in 1985 written by a guy named Albert Bloom called The Closing of the American Mind, which talks about how in our universities and in our culture, we become less and less open. We become more and more emphatic about what we should believe, and it almost becomes more indoctrination than education. And that's what I really feel in my heart, is that we need to go back to some of those days where we have more of a love for mankind, an understanding of mankind, a willingness to work with one another and to understand with one another rather than looking at what's wrong. You know, let's look at what's right. Let's look at what we can build on. Let's look at how we can be a team and go together to make progress individually, as a community, as a country, and even in the world. I see that as an area where in so many ways, as we get more and more books and more knowledge, but people's attitudes and people's hearts really need to be changed. And I think that that's what happened, is that I found myself opening my heart, you know, and believing and realizing that there was a spirit and a loving God who wanted to guide and lead me. And now the point is just saying, you know, will I walk in obedience to what I feel that, you know, inner voice is telling me to do, or am I going to go my own way? And it's not always really easily discerned. I make a lot of mistakes and I create a lot of problems for myself. But as long as I continue to speak to myself in loving and kind ways, I believe that I can encourage myself to move forward in a path that's going to edify not only myself but others. Because I had heard someone say at one point, your self-talk, would you talk that way to your child or someone you love, the words you speak to yourself? And what I realized is so much of my self-talk was about fear, was about anger, was about frustration, hatred, calling myself stupid or inability to be all that I could be instead of being forgiving for myself and loving for myself and forgiving others. Because I think forgiveness is the base of a lot of being able to stay in relationships, and trust, of course, is the base of all relationships. And we live in a culture and a time where people really don't trust each other. When I was president of student government, it was a time of tricky dick, and there's also a saying, don't trust anyone over the age of 40. And so what happens is that I think that there's in our culture, there's just a huge mistrust of, anyone in authority in many ways. And so it's hard sometimes to even submit yourself to a mentor or to a coach until you feel like you can really trust them and really believe that they have your best interest in heart and that they aren't just selfish and self-centered. So I think the biggest thing is from turning inward alone to realizing that, yes, there's a place to turn inward, but then there's a place to turn outward, so that not only am I taking and receiving from God in the universe, but I'm also giving to it. I realize I kind of rambled there. I apologize. I kind of got off.
Okay. Great. Well, so Thomas, I see that you have, a lot to share, because you have your journey and your perspective. It's pretty powerful inside you. I like what you said a lot about not becoming fanatic or caught up on being right. And so I want to ask you a question. What are some techniques that you use to become aware when we're about to get into that cycle where we're seeing, we're self-righteous and we're right and our way is the best way? What are some techniques that you use to become aware of that? How do you interrupt yourself, and how do you teach others to interrupt themselves on that, and what's a good reframe for that? Maybe you could share some
I think one of the things is to make sure that I'm surrounding myself with people who have different viewpoints. And I live in Seattle, and in Seattle, one of the city council people takes great pride that she doesn't have any Republican friends. And I'm not advocating one party over another, but what I'm saying is my concern is I look at that and I'm horrified by it, because just like there's some Republicans who say, I don't have any Democratic or liberal friends. And I think that's horrendous. That's sad, because our country was based on, Patrick Henry, I believe, said, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll die for you for your right to say it. You know what I mean? So he's saying, I don't necessarily agree with you. So what I find is that I really have to continually remind myself, because I've come from an experience of being codependent. And as a codependent, I used to always sort of become a chameleon and change to what other people thought or believed. And what I realized is I've got to come into a balance of not only knowing what I believe and think that is important, but also being willing to hear what other people have to say or think. An example is I had my wife had a fellow relative come over, and he had a belief that Jesus, when he died on the cross, that the disciples took him off the cross, and then they took him to Argentina, and then from Argentina he went up to New York City. So personally, I don't believe that at all. But instead of mocking him or thinking, you know, what a stupid thing to think, I asked him, I said, how did you come to that decision? How did you come to that evidence? What is it that led you to that place? Because what I realized is that if I grew up in his shoes, if I grew up with his life, I might have that very same perspective. Now, I didn't share that perspective. I didn't share that belief at that time. But I showed a willingness and care about him as a person to know, what is it and how is it that you got there? Because I'm on this journey. You're on this journey together. We may not agree, but you know what? I will really want to hear and learn from you because it'll make my life bigger and wider and more diverse. And one of the things I even was talking to someone about is one of the dangers on Facebook, for example, is that Facebook uses logarithms that end up leading you to organizations and people and things that all support your thinking and your viewpoint. And I was thinking of how in a way I feel that that's sad and tragic, because what it does is it leads you into that same circle of people, and people become silos instead of coming together. I had a history teacher, for example, who said that America is not a melting pot, it's a mixing bowl. He said, you know, people, the tomatoes stay over here and the onions over here and the lettuce over here. And they never really blend until they're digested. And a lot of times I think that we need to really digest what other people have to say and take what they eat, you know, have to offer as food for growth as a person. And I think that sometimes we let our doctrine and our viewpoints and our prejudices keep us from experiencing, I think, a lot to life. And I think then we can move from watching TV that's black and white to where it becomes in living color, and it becomes more dynamic. I think it becomes more alive. And I know I just learned from so many people. I'm learning from you. I'm learning from people who respond to me, even if they don't respond to me in a positive way. I'm learning from them. But it's also important for me to maintain the integrity of my own beliefs. And so there's a balance in all of that, of being open, but also maintaining your own beliefs without sacrificing them for the sake of being feeling acceptable.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that is a profound lesson in terms of the way you're teaching how to be open, to be able to learn from everyone. Talking about opening to be learned from everyone, the listeners here want to obviously learn from you. That's where they're listening to you. So what would be some of the ways that people can connect with you? How can they learn more from you? Please tell us a little bit about your tools, your books, your seminars, your one-on-one sessions, and also your special gift offer that you had talked about for today, so that we can make sure people, the listeners can connect with you and benefit from your teaching.
Well, basically, one of the ways they can connect with me, or I mean, if they want, they can either, you know, connect with me at least by email, because I'm in the process of actually building my teachings and whatnot, which is, can I say what it is? Well, right over right now, email address and phone number and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell us your website, and I'll post the rest of your information on the link so that when people click on it, they'll be able to go to it right here on the radio show.
Okay. I'm in the process of getting my website developed. I don't have one actually.
Sorry, if you can hold maybe the microphone or the – if you can hold it a little bit more clear, it's a little bit hard to hear you right now.
Okay. Basically, I don't have a website right now because I'm developing it. But, you know, if they want to call me and contact
me,
I'll be able to, in the future, I'll be getting my website developed and out there to connect with people. And I'm just pulling my book together right now, which is called Men Take Your Power Back Now, which is all about the idea of men needing to assert themselves more and to stand up and, you know, share their beliefs and not shrink back, because I think that we're in an age where men are shrinking back from their responsibilities. So they can contact me by even calling me on my cell phone at 206-226-3399. They can also contact me by email at thomaswilbur22, those are the numbers 22, at gmail.com. And then I'll be putting together that website shortly, and I'll be getting that to you as well. And you can sort of take it from there.
And, okay, great. I'll go ahead and post that information also right under the blog talk, so that when people are listening to it, it'll be right there available for them to be able to contact you. We have about, let's see, 3 more minutes. So I'm going to ask you one more question in terms of if someone wants to, what would someone, if someone contacts you for your 15-minute gift session offer, coaching offer that you had offered, what would happen in that 15 minutes?
In that 15 minutes, I would seek to really help a person to identify more clearly, you know, what direction and what path they want, and then also try to be working on developing a resource to either counsel them on a continual basis until they felt like that they were, you know, felt free or confident, and then also to develop a group, you know, they would support and encourage each other. Because what I find is that there's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And I think that that's where all of us want to go far in our life, and like one of those group opportunities for, you know, counseling or interacting, I think, is a place of great learning and a great way to go far.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Thank you for sharing about yourself. And I also, you know, want to thank you actually for being vulnerable with us, because both for the listeners, for the speaker, for everyone that gets involved, there's a level of vulnerability in exposing ourselves to a space where we're going to really just, you know, put ourselves out there. And I think one of the things that speakers go through, one of the things that transformational leaders go through, is that they're willing to expose themselves, and they know that it's something powerful for themselves and the greater good. So I want to thank you in advance for that, and for being out there and really moving things forward, and for being so open-minded in a world where so many different spiritual teachings can unconsciously not be as open-minded. So I just wanted to tell you that that's a wonderful thing, and I love hearing that from you. And to bless you with more power to continue to do what you're doing.
Okay.
I'm going to share a little bit more about this topic that Thomas you brought up. So I'm just going to shift the call to myself right now, and please continue to listen on live. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So one of the things that Thomas said, which is about really control, ultimately comes down to control, is that I want to share that what you try to control, you can ruin. So have you ever noticed that whatever you try to control, the most, whatever you control the most, often gives you the most grief? Some things require control. Some things like traffic control, pest control, crime control, bladder control are all very helpful. But control is not, however, the answer to everything. Some things need a little control, like, for example, your bank account. You want to be in charge just to see what's happening. You want to create an environment in a room. You want to set the tone. But with relationships, creativity, healing, and happiness, for instance, holding on to control is often a major block to success. So the relationship you try to control the most are the ones that suffer the most. Control is, in essence, fear. Trying to control the people you love betrays old wounds, old heartbreaks, and old pain. Control does not make a relationship safe. And that's a powerful message that I've really spent so many years in my own life learning, watching people through that, meeting thousands of people at a time or in one-on-one sessions, and just really hearing the internal stories through powerful regressions as I see people go through the depth of their subconscious through past migrations of the soul, and I've seen this journey. On the contrary, control actually kills trust, intimacy, romance, spontaneity, and growth. And you just cannot control unconditional love. So you have to give up control and fear to win love. Now, the other thing is control in relationships, any type of relationship, often causes power struggles, disenchantment, and unhappy endings. Whenever you try to change someone, you're trying to control them. Whenever you try to make choices for another person, you're also trying to control them. Your relationship is no longer about love and respect. It's about manipulation and dominance. And as I'm saying this, if you're thinking about one particular person out there, just remember that we all have projections. And so if you can even notice someone, you probably have some of this inside yourself. So just take this inwards and not just focus on someone out there. A power struggle will emerge usually. There'll be a war, between two parties or two countries. And both parties will lose unless control is relinquished. Sometimes one person lets go of the control and the other person is still fighting. And it can begin to seem or look like that this is never ending and maybe I should continue to control so that I could also win. But that's just an illusion, because in the long term, and sometimes it takes time, you will succeed when you let go of control and truly inject high vibration consciousness of the love that you truly are. Now, sometimes you can't directly give love to someone. Sometimes you may not be able to speak to that person anymore, but you could still send them your prayers. That's understood. So we're a generation who, like Thomas was saying, we've been sold beliefs like control is power, control is strength, control is freedom, get control of your life. And it's become a popular mantra in our society. But control is healthy if it means taking responsibility for your life, choosing your thoughts and being focused. But control can also be misused. Too much control can make you inflexible, defensive, short-sighted, and very ineffective. So as I invite you to the path of transformation, I want to also say that relinquishing control is often the first step to greater creativity, inspiration, and healing. It takes courage, though. I remember once someone very famous asked me for relationship counseling, but only on the strict condition that I didn't ask him any questions about his parents or his ex-wife or his private life. So trying to control your own healing is one of the most common blocks to wholeness and happiness. And to complete this thought, if you're someone who's looking to do more creativity, remember that control often causes a mind cramp that really kills your creativity, innovation, progress. So control essentially betrays the attempt to do life all on your own. So it's like it really betrays you. It's an attempt to do life all on your own, and it smells pretty much of dysfunctional independence, closed-mindedness, fear of change, and even fear of success. You can begin to block. So a little one-minute meditation that we're going to do. I want you to locate an aspect in your life that you know you're over-controlling. You know you're over-involved. You know you need to let it go. And just for a moment, get a picture of that. Notice if it's bright or dim. Notice which part of your body feels attacked by that or feels overworked by that. And as you have that right there, go ahead and take a deep breath in. And just for the next 10 minutes, because I know sometimes it's hard to let go. For the next 10 minutes, I want you to make a commitment to yourself to let go of controlling the situation just for the next 10 minutes. And somewhere out there, watch that beautiful God box. Go ahead and visualize this problem, challenge, being directly, shoot it like a basketball. Just throw it right there into that God box. And as you throw it in there, watch God working it, and you step back. Imagine you're watching this in a theater. I want you to go ahead and step back from being in the movie into the seat where you're watching the movie. And now jump from your seat into the projection booth. So you're watching yourself in the seat, watching the movie of this scenario that's been irritating you or giving you too much work. You know. And as you do that, it's just for 10 minutes, you know, it's just a little letting go. See yourself as the manager of God's plan. See yourself as the manager of God's plan. Take another deep breath in and wiggle your toes. And that's our teachings for today. Join us soon again at 1 p.m. as we approach another powerful teaching. You can see the topics right there on the Divine link. And that's the lesson for today. Once again, my name is Shaheen Jedion, author of Divine Prescription for Life and 41 other powerful works and meditation CDs. I invite you also to be in touch with me. If you have any questions, both for me or Thomas, you could contact us. If you want to be in contact with me, or if you want to present other subjects even for future shows, things that you want to hear from, you can contact me directly at facebook.com. Just look for my name, Shaheen Jedion, Shaheen Jedion, and it's right there. You can just message me from there. My Facebook page is probably full, so I can't take any more friends, but you could definitely personally message me from the messenger right there. If you don't work with Facebook or you want to use other means of contacting me, you can also you can give me a direct call at 323-680-4072. Somebody will definitely answer your call and I will personally read that. So you can text or call or leave a message there. And I'm super excited that you're in my life, that I'm speaking with you, that I get the opportunity. I have so much gratitude. I get the opportunity that I can wake up in the morning and be with you. And as you're listening to me, you are a part of my life. We're energetically connected. So I love you as you're sitting there or listening to this, or if you're in the car, wherever you are, there's a love being emitted towards you. And I know and I'm receiving a powerful love from you, the listener. God bless and have an incredible, make an incredible day, I would say. God bless.